All righty, gentlemen. Let me pray for us, and then we'll dive into our scripture together. Heavenly Father, we just want to take this moment right now. Thank you, Lord, for the week off. I pray that it was a restful week for everybody. Lord, as we're regathering, Lord, just grateful for the opportunity to gather in this space, Lord, just for all the conversations and the relationships that you've built over the course of the semester. And I just pray that tonight that we would get to continue more, to learn more about another dimension of your greatness, and that it would inspire us to be able to have actionables going to the rest of this week, learning more about the kind of men that you've called us to be. And lift all these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Alrighty, so with it being, we had a week off and recapping what we've done for the semester, I actually did, before diving into tonight, I was like, what have we talked about for the past semester? So let me go through a quick recap of all the topics, the characteristics we've gone through since the beginning of the semester. So we started with responsibility, talking about how a biblical man takes responsibility for what they didn't break. Then we talked about courage, how a biblical man will act and stand whenever a situation calls for it. Then protection, that in Christ, a biblical man can protect physically, spiritually, and relationally. Then for provision, about a biblical man providing spiritually, relationally, and materially. And then the week before the break, we talked about leading to Christ, where we see that a man, we get to see in his life who he follows, and if that person is leading him to Christ, and if that man himself is leading others to Christ. And then tonight, we're talking about honor. And I don't know about you guys, for me on this list, honor kind of actually distinguishes itself and sets itself apart from the previous characteristics. Because at least for me, honor kind of reads more as a far more ancient kind of value. The first thing that comes to mind for me is gladiator. And what I think of is when Maximus goes for a Roman handshake saying strength and honor. Right? That it's something ancient in a time that where they had wars all the time, there was hand-to-hand combat, things like that. And apparently, I think they created the phrase strength and honor for the movie, so that may not even be historically accurate to what Romans actually did. But anyways, it's this idea that honor feels like this super ancient kind of value. So in a world where we have air conditioning, high-speed internet, instant shipping, what value is there for honor in the modern day? And so in order to do that, we're going to dive into the passage for tonight where we'll be focusing on Daniel and the story about him in the lion's den. And so we'll begin our scripture passage at Daniel chapter 6, verse 6. And as we go through it together, we're going to break down the different characters that we see and how it can translate to the modern day when it comes to talking about honor. So it begins in verse 6. It says, "Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked.' Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously." So, when it comes with honor, answering the question, why does honor still matter today? The answer, bottom line, is honor reveals your target. Honor reveals your target. What do I mean by that? But what that basically means is that honor displays the direction of your heart posture. And that's what separates honor from any of the previous characteristics, in the fact that all the previous characteristics culminate in honor. You either have and you live with honor, or you don't. And it's all displayed by the targeting of your heart posture. And so to best capture this illustration, I've been hanging out with Danny a lot too, so the best illustration that came to mind to capture this that we'll unpack is the idea of a scope at a firing range. And so for those of you guys that are gun experts, this illustration, I had to take some creative liberties, but I just want you guys to know this is not exactly how it works, but it's kind of, sort of. So I just made some modifications to make it work for tonight. So we're going to talk about the three kinds of men that we just read about in this passage in Daniel. And the first one is a man like King Darius, who has no integrity and no honor. No integrity and no honor. And so as you can see on the screens, how we're going to categorize this is, for one target, one scope, the site is representing a worldview, which is what I believe. And the other side is my actions, how I live. And then right in the middle is the target. So the person with no integrity and no honor does not have any overlap between their worldview and their actions, and they're completely off target. They're not even a spray and pray kind of guy, they're just a spray, right? And so this is exactly what we see in King Darius. where he's got these officials that are coming up to him, and they're giving him this, talking in his ear, and he's just listening to the world. And they propose it in the way of like, well, King Darius, you've got like the legitimacy, the power of a god. And so you have that kind of a status. Everyone needs to acknowledge and recognize you as a god. And King Darius is like, I like the sound of that. Let's make that a law. And so for somebody like King Darius, who has no integrity and no honor, he goes ahead and he officializes that law, not realizing the consequences ahead. The second kind of man is a man with integrity, but no honor. So if we go to the next slide, we'll see a man with integrity and no honor. So here's the distinction. When there is overlap and alignment between what you believe and how you live, you have integrity. But sometimes you can be totally off base with your target. Let me give you an example. Let's just say that I was a new hire that came to join your team in the workforce, and I introduce myself and say, hey, I'm Pratik, and first, right off the bat, I'll let you know, I am a coward. That when it comes down to the heat of things, I am going to throw you under the bus, I'm going to abandon you, because I believe that the world is a dog-eat-dog world. Every man for himself, survival of the fittest. So when it comes down to the heat of the moment, I am going to abandon you, I'm going to abandon ship. So right there in that situation, every single one of us, I think, would agree that, yeah, there was alignment in what I said I believed and how I was going to live. But I'm completely off target in the fact that you can tell, okay, Pratik's not a team player. I'm not going to trust him in any situation. He might have had integrity, but there is no honor. That's the main difference. And so we see in the case of the officials here, right, that as they're talking to the king, proposing this idea, let's put this law in place, they had integrity. That they, in the sense, were like, okay, we're going to target Daniel and we're going to create this way to do it and we're going to make it super legal and super official, but they had no honor. And now we're going to look at the third kind of man, as we see in Daniel, a man with honor and a man with integrity. And so right here, you can see the sights are lined up where his worldview matches his actions, but his target is about honoring God with his life. And this is the kind of man that all of us should aspire to be. Because in truth, unfortunately, so many of us, Christians especially, will stop at category 2, where we would assume that as long as I memorize some verses, do some churchy things, my heart's in the right place. But in actuality, the only way that we are living a God-honoring life is when our target is fixed on Christ. And what we see here in Daniel is this way of how he's honoring God. It's quiet. It's consistent. And he's expecting the resistance, even though he knows that there's a target on his back. He looks out and he says, I don't need to make an uproar. I don't need to cry wolf or play the victim here. I can just continue doing exactly what I have been doing. Daniel had this full understanding that the world is not going to understand what he's doing because they're not seeking to honor God. So obviously there is going to be some friction and some resistance. So honor does not slow down in the face of resistance. It just continues on quietly and consistently. So now that we've talked about it in an ancient context, you're like, Pratik, great, this is 2,000 years ago plus. What does this have to do with the modern day? And I know for me, a lot of the times, what is most helpful for me is when I can latch on to a modern example of a biblical truth as best as I can. And last December, if you guys were there, I had a chance to talk about one of my heroes in the faith, Uncle Benny. He's actually a childhood friend of my dad's. And I want to show you guys a portion of his testimony that we didn't get to see because there just wasn't enough time for that Sunday. But to give you a little bit of context, so Uncle Benny, as I know him, is a traveling musician that has traveled to every country in the world to play a concert and preach the gospel. He's a guitarist. But in his own story, he was kicked out of school in 10th grade in India, not because he was a dropout, but because the school said, your grades are so bad that it's going to taint our record as a school, so we're kicking you out. He had arthritis and he was misdiagnosed for asthma that he had, and it ended up destroying 60% of his lung capacity. And the medical professional said that he was going to die at 16 years old. So he ended up surpassing his expiry date, gave his life to Christ, and then felt the call to go travel around the world. And so let's take this video where he's going to talk a little bit more about what that looked like.
Spend more time praying and seeking God for the will of the future of this nation, just like what he did. At 16, I wanted to kill myself, but Jesus brought life and he brought purpose into my life, taking me to every country here on this earth. Before I close by playing a song on the guitar, you know, when I broke the world record, I had a lot of challenges because they didn't want me to talk about Jesus. They only wanted me to talk about my achievements. But Jesus, without Jesus, my life is empty. So I prayed and I asked Jesus, Lord, they are not allowing me to talk about you. They edit my words. Can you give me an idea where your name can be glorified without me opening my mouth? So help me to design this hat. And this hat says, thank you, Jesus, I'm an Indian. Now, this is not a religious statement. This is a patriotic statement. I am proud to be an Indian. And as a result of this, nobody can stop me from wearing this hat, because if anyone stops me, they become racist. And I want to tell you, my friends, if you want to share Jesus, nothing will stop you. God will give you the greatest creativity to proclaim his good news.
There you go. So, you name, I'm pretty confident that most of us are probably not going to be called to travel to every single country in the world to preach the gospel. But God is calling you right now in your sphere of influence. At home, at work, here at church, out in the neighborhood. Each of us has our own sphere of influence. And so honor is not about doing more and achieving more, but it's about asking God to show you what it means to live an honorable life. Kneeling at the foot of the cross every day, every morning, and asking him, God, can you show me what it means to put you first in all things? Let me not be the kind of man that has no integrity or no honor, or the man that has integrity but no honor. But God, show me how to be a man of honor and integrity that glorifies you in a quiet, consistent, and creative way. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for this invitation that you've given us and the gift of masculinity, Lord, that we get to express parts of your glory that you've instilled in us in the way that you've designed us to be. Lord, that you look at us and you call us good. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for every man in the room right now, Lord, that as they're reflecting on their own lives and they're asking, what kind of man am I right now, that you would be able to honestly and openly reveal to them that this is the kind of man that they are. But Lord, the fact that no person who meets Jesus stays the same, Lord, that there is always growth for every single one of us, and that's available to us in relationship with you. So I ask, Lord, that we would not be people that, or men that are just living in the place where we have integrity but no honor, but that would really be pushing forward into seeking you in all things, that we would put you first. We would not be a different person at home than we are at work, or a different person at school than we are back out in the neighborhood. Lord, just ask that we would be able to be consistently who you've created us to be in all settings, as you've called us to be, not in our own strength, but because of the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that we glorify you in everything. Lift all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.